Then last week when we started looking at the words of my perfect teacher, when we looked at this particular presentation of the Lamrim, we started to first talk about the motivation that one needs to set before engaging into virtuous activities, in this case, in particular, listening to Dharma teachings. So it was first presented what motivation, the bodhicitta motivation that is required to be generated for sutra teachings, and then it was looked at the motivation that needs to be generated for mantra teachings, for tantra teachings. So the motivation that we need to set for the teachings is really to have as our goal the attainment of full and complete enlightenment, and in particular to take all sentient beings and place them in the same state of full and complete enlightenment.
So as
it was presented last week, the motivation of wanting to place all sentient beings into the state of enlightenment, this is something that we need to generate now at the time of listening to Dharma teachings.
So whatever
virtuous activity we're doing, in this case in particular listening to Dharma teachings, it's imperative that we set a good motivation beforehand, and we set it quite strongly. And in particular, the motivation of wanting to free all sentient beings, because all sentient and in particular, bearing in mind that all sentient beings want happiness, and bearing that in mind, we set the motivation of bodhicitta, of the mind of enlightenment, of wanting to take them to full enlightenment.
So last
time we spoke, as I said now, about the motivation to set before listening to Dharma teachings, and now we're going to talk about the activity. The activity of listening to Dharma teaching. So this is divided into two sections, what to avoid and what to do. So today we're going to look at in particular what to avoid. So in general, when we talk about behavior, we're talking about our body, our physical activity. So that's generally what's referred to with the term behavior. Or conduct, sorry, conduct.
Now,
So the first outline within what to avoid is the three faults of a vessel. So a vessel is any kind of container into which we pour something or into which we place something. So of course in the context of Dharma teachings, the vessel is our mind. So here we're looking at the three faults of the vessel, and this refers specifically to the vessel of the mind. So the first of the three faults of a vessel, as it's translated in the text of three defects of the pot, is if a pot or vessel is upside down, then no matter what you try and put inside, it could be the most delicious, amazing meal, but you can't you pour it inside, it's not going to go inside, it's just going to spill on the side, and nothing will end up inside at all. So a similarity would be sitting in teachings and dozing off. So no matter how wonderful and profound the teachings are, we're not very much is going to enter our mind if we fall asleep. So this is of course exactly the same as missing out on a delicious meal. So the way to prevent being like or having this fault of the upturned vessel or the upside down pot is to have strong interest and to listen with great care. So the second now of the three faults of the vessel is the cracked vessel, the pot with a hole in it. So, I should say, sorry, for those who have the English book, we on the top of page 11. Sorry. So a pot that has a hole in it, of course, one may be able to pour something inside, but if it's broken, it's not going to retain, it's going to leak out.
So here
how this relates to the situation that we find ourselves in is we may be awake and we therefore hear the words that are coming towards us, but we could be distracted either by our daily activities or some kind of mental process that's going on. We're thinking about our home situation or work, or we have some kind of mental process going on, and that whilst there is sound coming and we're awake, we're not hearing it. So it's entering, but it's really going straight back out. Or of course we may be distracted by who we're sitting next to and engage in conversation with the person that we are next to. And then again, we're awake, but we're not really aware of the teaching at all. So now we come to the third part of the vessel. So the first was the upside down part, the second was the part with the hole in it, and now the third one, that's a filthy container or the pot containing poison. So here again it's clear. So now we have if we have a pot but it's dirty, or maybe it's just dirty, and we pour in some lovely food, we're not really going to want to eat that anyway, and if we do, we'll end up getting ill. So this is the third illustration, the pot containing poison.
I'm doing Yingore, and they don't know the Karashi do some Yingore, the Yina, Kuron Kumodilla, and the Majaroche. Daddy, Che Shella Misha, didn't you sing you, Saja, Maja Sada, and the Lamalia Chador, so on, and Degu, maybe get those tin, and the Yamba in the Chador, the Majaroche, Dinne Yovina, and indeed, too much in the Chibari, let's call it Kuore, and the Chibari, yes, as you know, too much in Chibari.
So how this relates to our situation of listening to Dharma teachings is if we like a filthy cot, a filthy pot that's stained and has poison in it, if we're sitting here listening to the Dharma teachings, so we're not asleep and we're hearing the words, but we're sitting here all puffed up and full of pride, and we're perhaps having jealousy towards towards others, then this is going to really pollute and contaminate the Dharma teachings. So now we're hearing these teachings, but because of this puffed up mind of pride, because of the mind of jealousy that we may have, we may be hearing the words, but actually because of these stains, these dominant poisons in our mind, the Dharma teachings are actually going to harm us, and not only are they going to harm us, they'll end up actually harming others as well.
So ngajia yo wan zang ane lami gi ma chue xie xie ba de le duan na jie jie ane di niam nian jing ma le was ma jie wa zang kui de deng yi xin jue le kuang da xie le sheng bi sheng jie de di duan na jing ma le ma jie wa zang kui de niam nian jie ne ma jie wa zang ane wo su su gu yu de guan xi guan niam nian de ya zhu guo ma le was ma zhu zhu ma le jing di le.
So if we're sitting listening to teachings and we have this mind of pride, we're going to listen to teachings and we're going to have a critical mind. And instead of listening as in an open and receptive manner, we're going to be criticizing the teaching. Oh, I've heard this before, or I know it better than this. And the outcome is not only are we sitting there in a negative way, but we're not going to leave here and engage with the teachings. We're not going to practice them. And by not practicing the teachings, our minds will not improve. They will not develop.
So
we've looked now at how being like a stained or polluted vessel can harm ourselves, and that's through not engaging through our mind of pride, we will not engage with the teachings we've heard. Now, not only can this harm ourselves, but it can harm others. Because if we're sitting here with our mind full of pride or other afflictions dominating us, we'll hear the teachings and we'll think, oh, I could say it better than this, or my understanding is more profound than what I'm hearing right now. And I'm thinking this way, we'll leave the teaching and be quite unhappy with these afflicted, disturbing emotions dominating us. And then we'll talk outside to other students, who some of whom may have enjoyed the teachings and have got a lot from it, others who also may have some doubts, but because of them engaging in conversation with this with these disturbing emotions dominating us, we'll end up destroying any harmony that may exist within the group, as well as lessening or maybe even destroying the benefits that others may have got from the same teachings.
So looking
at these three faults of a vessel, so if we come to teachings and we fall asleep, then the only person who loses out on that potential to transform and develop is oneself. Or if one comes to the teachings and is really mentally very distracted about whatever's going on in one's life, or is maybe engaged in conversation, then the person that mainly loses out then again is oneself. So the third one is quite different, because here not only with this being like the stained vessel, one not only sits here with strong afflictions and hurting oneself, but through acting in a disharmonious way afterwards, one harms others. So of these three, it's really the third one that is most harmful.
So the
countermeasure to these minds, the minds that we rather should try and generate whenever we're listening to any Dharma teachings, is a mind of faith in the Dharma as well as in the teacher, the propounder of the Dharma. And this faith should be based on an awareness of the benefits of the Dharma and the benefits that the Dharma can bring to ourselves and others. So being aware of these benefits, we will give rise to faith in both the Dharma itself as well as the teacher of the Dharma. And in that way, we'll listen attentively and with interest and respectively. Respectfully. So my own particular thought on this is I look at the situation in the world and I see just how really very rare and very precious the Dharma teachings are.
So
if we think of the vast number of beings throughout the world, when we include animals and as well as unseen beings, it really is an incredible sum. And amongst all of these, it's not even 1% that has interest in the Dharma. So even just on this one area here, there are probably more ants than there are human beings in the entire world.
So
then not only are there really not very many people who have interest in the Dharma, but even amongst those that have interest, it's a far smaller number that actually want to engage in Dharma practice and Dharma studies. And then amongst those who have the interest in studying Dharma and thereby practicing Dharma, to get the opportunity to be able to hear Dharma teachings and to engage in Dharma studies, this too is very difficult. So now we've attained this very rare opportunity of not only having interest in hearing Dharma teachings, but we also have the opportunity to hear Dharma teachings. So now we need to think of not just the rarity of this, but the specialness of this. So we can think again about the motivation that we need to have present in our mind when receiving teachings. And that's to help all sentient beings, to free them from their suffering. And the way to free them from their suffering is for us to attain the light and state of a Buddha. And the reason for attaining the state of Buddhahood is not so that we can be happy and relaxed and now all our problems are finished, but it's because it's once one is a Buddha that one has the great ability to be able to benefit sentient beings according to their own individual needs. So really, when we think about this amazing situation we have, one can certainly, and it's good to generate non-afflicted pride about this, that we really have managed to achieve such a very fortunate situation. So the text presents an illustration, an example from Old Tibet. So in Old Tibet there wasn't much hunting that was going on, and if there was, it would have been with a bow and arrow. It was before the days of guns. So the first line of the example is listen to the teachings like a deer listening to music. Because someone who wanted to hunt animals, for example, what they could do is if they were skilled at playing the lute, a deer would be attracted to the sound and would be absorbed in that sound. And being whilst absorbed in the sound, they could throw a lasso around the neck of a deer and in that way catch it. So similarly to a deer being absorbed in a beautiful sound, we should listen attentively to Dharma teachings. And
nima bhe ya luk ti ke jangatang ya luk ti de ane tiansan de chuse ya huyo rwa bhe luk ti de ane luk bhe yu su ko de kane ko go rasa na kangmo lakpa su ba dam che luk ti maari sha che ane ti chi ke trit no bo che che na bhe ti sak 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 bhe go rasa jatang korang namgyun ti jangwa za jangwa yin zang bhe namgyun lega le jangwa yin zang ane subu ke ma ma se wa che ane ko bhe de ya huyo to sak 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 ya huyo go che tu go rasa bhe lo che
So the second line of the example, contemplate them like a northern nomad shearing sheep. So so this really needs some explanation, I guess. Huh? So in the old days in Tibet, they didn't have the greatest of technology when it came to shearing sheep. So one had to be very skilled, one needed to have trained to be able to shear sheep without harming the sheep and without cutting the sheep. So in the same way, that when we have study teachings and we come to contemplating and reflecting on the teachings, we should think about the meaning correctly and in the correct stages and really analyze very well so that we work in an unmistaken method, because from an unmistaken method harm won't follow or mistakes won't follow.
So
someone who's coming to the teachings, they've set a very good motivation, they've listened attentively. So the idea here is that then when they leave the teaching venue, they go home and they continue to think about the teachings and to reflect on the teachings in terms of reflect on it in the way that it was presented, so in the correct sequence, in the correct order, and going through all the points to get the meaning clear in one's mind.
No.
Then the third line in the illustration, meditate on them like a dumb person savoring food. So the term dumb here doesn't mean someone who can't speak, but rather someone who's not so intelligent. So someone who's not so intelligent, when they offered food, without hesitation they'll happily eat it. And so similarly, without having doubts, one should engage in the correct Dharma. Having dispelled doubts, one should engage in correct meditation on the Dharma topics.
Samlo shanta mata aje lamsa dene gozu gores ko mazo aje ane milemba diga san kal kal gatre shana ko lamsa di negri negu mare masa ma lamsa sa sharo di nashin duze da dinga gomro chaage dene chigin sembe samlo ko ando dara ta che che ane ko samlo gyo mata aje dara gomja gores ne ko ja gores che
So just to recap briefly, so the first line was, again with the deer and listening, so that was about listening to the teachings. The second line, which was about the northern nomad shearing sheep, that was about reflecting on the teachings correctly. So now we're at this third line with the not so intelligent person and their attitude to eating food. What this is really saying is by the time we get to meditation, so we've had the hearing and study, we've had the reflection, and now we're at the meditation stage. Now we should have dispelled the doubts. And just like someone who, without question, willingly eats what is given to him or her, in the same way, we should, once we've had dispelled our doubts, we should sit down and meditate, and then not get distracted into discursive thinking.
Gom
So just like this person who's offered food and willingly and readily eats it, likewise we should sit down to meditate on the chosen topic, not on something else. So what we're trying to get away from and trying to abandon here is maybe the habit of when we sit down to meditate and then we think, oh, I really need to meet someone today. It's actually really quite important. And off we go. And so much for today's meditation session. Or we sit down and think, oh, I should be meditating now, but I need to do this or I need to do that. And again, the meditation's finished and off we go. So really, we should rather, by this stage, have dispelled all doubts and engage in the actual meditation session. So then we get to the fourth line. So we have practiced them like a hungry yak eating grass. So in the same way, apparently when yaks eat grass, they eat as if there's no tomorrow. So they eat with great greed and really engage wholeheartedly in their eating. So in the same way, when we come to do meditation practice, we should do it with full and complete commitment. We shouldn't start and then, this is a bit boring, or this is going on a little bit long, or enough for today. Rather, we should meditate with enthusiasm and commitment. And likewise, when we start to meditate or start with a practice, we shouldn't think, okay, this is enough for now, and then we leave it for a few weeks or a few months, and then maybe go back to it. Rather, we should continue and persevere and continue with our Dharma practice, our meditation practice, until we attain the desired results. Again, emphasizing here that what we not to do, what we to avoid here, is engaging meditation practice for a few days or just a few months and then giving up on it. Rather, with a good motivation, we need to continue engage in it continuously for a lengthy period.
gomjepche ma phandu chimba da di gomjepche ta jema ne gomjege me sha shan din gomje jema jeng ma ro ya ju tra yo ma ro ta ko ya jema ne ta dirin ni da o ji gomje wi ta ja ya ga ro chen so da din ha jema di su ren gomje yin sen bi ge sam lo ma to wa che din jema go bra na ni ya ne gomje wo le se wo le
Okay, then it does about that. So, what we need to do is engage in really a sustained daily practice. What we should try and what we should avoid doing is engaging in meditation practice and then thinking, okay, now I'm done, now I'm finished, I no longer need to engage in meditation practice. Rather, it's something that needs to happen continuously over a period of time.
And
likewise with receiving Dharma teachings. Again, if one comes sporadically, one comes once and thinks, okay, now I've had some Dharma teachings, or comes for a while and thinks I've had some Dharma teachings, that's not going to achieve the results. Again, this needs to be something sustained and practiced over a period of time. So now we come to the fifth line. So just to recap, the first line you remember was about the deer listening to a lute. The second was about the shearing nomad. The third about the person eating food. The fourth about the hungry yak. And the fifth line, reach their results like the sun coming out from behind the clouds. So here it's really following on from what we've been saying, is practice needs to be sustained because if one doesn't, then in the same way that the sun is behind clouds and therefore there's no benefit from the sun, people don't get warm, the earth doesn't heat up, then in the same way, if one doesn't practice and study in a sustained sustained manner, then the benefit doesn't come. So if one has as a goal to attain a calm abiding, then one should continue with one's endeavor to attain calm abiding until that has been achieved. Likewise, if one wants to achieve bodhicitta or the mind of enlightenment, one should start out and continue and endeavor until this is achieved. Because if it's not achieved, if one gives up before it's attained, then it's the same as the cloud remaining, the sun remaining obscured behind the clouds. And similarly, when it comes to our present situation here of receiving Lamrim teachings, so if we continually persevere and we've studied the whole Lamrim, then we study it well so that we're able to look back and say, okay, so in the Lamrim, I find these various topics, and they're presented in this particular order, and we really have a good understanding of the Lamrim, then this is similar to the sun coming out from behind the clouds.
All right. Deninza ane tuba sanje jemden digi ngare su bare lamna ane me kyo tulya tarba tarba thobya ki tarba ni sanje ko ba thoya ki an thablam lam dene dene yore nyamlen dene dene che ko ore se di ni lam ji to da na nyam nyam sile na che ko ore se lob den di cha sa kyo so lya shi gi yes
so deninga di di ka So there's a short quote from the Buddha, one verse. I have shown you the methods that lead to liberation, but you should know that liberation depends upon yourself. Many people don't have the book, so I'll read it again. I have shown you the methods that lead to liberation, but you should know that liberation depends upon yourself. So the Buddha has taught us about the goals that are to be attained, the goals of liberation, the goals of enlightenment that can be obtained. And likewise, and not only has the Buddha taught us about the goals that can be attained, but has taught the path or the methods for attaining those goals. But the attainment of the goals of liberation and enlightenment, these are dependent upon oneself. And so the meaning here, of course, is that whilst the Buddha has taught us the goals and the methods for attaining those goals, it is really up to us to achieve them. So it's for us to listen to teachings and to study well with enthusiasm and with interest. And whilst doing that, to engage in Dharma practice again with enthusiasm and interest. And if we do that, then those goals will definitely be attained. If, however, on the other hand, enthusiasm is lacking and one doesn't make much effort, then the goals cannot be obtained.
Man Tigor Chasan didn't enjoy dinner and Tigor there, and then Labrabu, Dona Ying, Tibanachin, Dona Chi, Yane, or some da Jangantigi, Yabashin to Hore, Chasa, Labrajin Tibanachin, Tiko Nyan Yanje, Dona Abu Machi, the Yane and the Machawene, Nishingo, Madding and the Chasangi, Tonshus, Tongo, or Hawores.
And of course, this doesn't just apply to us, it applies to one's children as well. If children go to school and they have great enthusiasm and interest, and they listen to what the teacher is explaining, and they really make some effort in their studies, a good result will come about. And this is something that we've seen. And likewise, the opposite of those who don't have interest, they don't make effort, then the result doesn't come.
Lami garishi gore sinne jidan dang juge lami ge chiye de ne che nyen ta dine dine nyen gore das kuno dine che o da di kon ma she so de kuno dine gore la so kuno dine si ore jidan ane bene chimba sia de kasa ne gi kyen dine dine de yung gore di kyen de me ba che gore sa dine dine ma she do lami ge che nyen su chup su di pa pon su ke ho chup su nyam su len su loba yimbe lami garishi gore sinne 去年的年过的
So I'll just read something out from the text, just one short paragraph. The teacher gives the students instructions explaining how to listen to the Dharma and how to apply it, how to give up negative actions, how to perform positive ones, and how to practice. It is up to the disciple to remember these instructions, forgetting nothing, to put them into practice, and to realize them. Mm-hmm. Can I read it a second time? Not many people have books. The teacher gives the students instructions explaining how to listen to the Dharma and how to apply it, how to give up negative actions, how to perform positive ones, and how to practice. It is up to the disciple to remember those instructions, forgetting nothing, to put them into practice, and to realize them. So what we've had presented here is how we should be listening to Dharma teachings. So listening with interest and with enthusiasm and without being asleep and without pride.
Mm-hmm.
So within this division on conduct that is to be abandoned, we've looked at the first outline, which is the three faults of the vessel, and now we come to the second, the six stains. So the first of the six stains is that of pride. So pride here refers specifically to pride of the students towards the Dharma and the Dharma teacher. And through pride arising, one isn't going one isn't going to hear the meaning of the Dharma. So with a stain such as pride, one will sit listening to a teaching thinking, oh, I can explain it better than this, or my understanding is more profound than what I'm hearing, etc. I'm thinking like this, then instead of the Dharma having a profound and beneficial impact on one's mind, rather one's afflictions are growing and increasing and having a counter effect. And so the first one, the first of the six stains was pride, and now the second is lack of faith.
디 드마이나 가르스네 디 메바시고고 디 메바시고고 가서 대바 최래 대바 라마네 대바 고고레스 디 대바 메바디 드마레스 디 드마디 여바이나 다 최래 대바 라마레 대바 메바이나 최 예비냐 고용바이네 최는 대바 메 아니 라마레 대바 메서 다스 용어지 녀세 가르시기도 섬지니 아니 라비 디네 섬지 냠바 담마도 코롱기 아니 섬레 패 팽마레스
So and similarly with a lack of faith in both the teacher and the teaching, if someone comes and listens to a teaching, they just won't get any benefits because they'll just sit here rather with a critical mind. And then the third one is a lack of aspiration or making efforts, a lack of striving, rather a lack of striving.
Dineko nyamnenjine yage dol mado din dönye meba na chenye ngi mare din menye ba da dona sam da yo mare zan dönye meba di dimare di meba chi kokores chulya dönye ni chimbo chine jang gore nyen gore so
so if one lacks this striving mind then whilst one may attend teachings one may and hear the teachings one's not going to make any effort and then the benefit that comes about and then no benefit is going to follow from attending teachings
Tisa Diso Chile Deva da Lamala, Deva da, and the Chile Deva Lamala, Deva Yena, and Dunya the Gi, Lihonashing, Dunya the Ko Jet, Dunya Ligore. Tisan Deva da Lamala, the Chile Devaman, Lamala Devaman, Lamadis and the Chenyagi, Dunya Ligmare. Chile Devamena, Chichi, Dunya Ligmare. Malevanza, Deva Mena, Dunya Lingo Mare.
So there's a close relationship between the second and the third stain with lack of faith and a lack of a striving mind. Because if one lacks faith in either the Dharma or the teacher, then one is not going to strive and make effort to listen and to study and to apply the teachings in practice.
Devadi Amanaji is your Ama, Amanaji, Amaladine, Boom Hoki, Nibum Hoki, Boo de Ziggy, Antimi, Chimbocha, Leralin, Anya, Shanley Pemba, Anso Dinigi, Jawa, Gachimuchi, Pandochi, Ungor was the Amanaji, Devad Amanaji is Amale Booki, Boo digi, Boom Hoki, Boo de Sugida, Leralin, Shanley Pemba, Dinigi Pandochi to Ungor is Dinashin, Chueda, Lamal Devayana. Dele Dunyaje, Dunyaje, and Dunyaje, Odu, Delia, Jawala Shuji, Lobjanje, Lobjanje, Shin Odu, and Sosugi Shinvadia, Michelia, Michik Lobjanje, Pandoche, Dinegi, Pandochimurungo, and the Devadi Amanaji, yes, in Code Devayena, Amayena Puki, Ungore, Mima Chagore, Amamena, Minun, you told it in Minus, such Novacharura, Odina Amanaji, Tachimores and Sigores.
So faith can be likened to a mother because a mother gives birth to many children and cares for and helps the children progress and develop. So likewise, with having faith, faith which here is likened to the mother, and having faith in the teacher and the teachings, one will have the minds of striving and endeavoring to listen, to study, and to apply the teachings in one's life.
So now
the fourth of the six stains. That's outward distraction. So this refers to our five senses being distracted to external objects.
So 소소게 되니기 통한데 되니기 통화될 때네 담지 잘하듯이 양으로 통해나 지 대리야 대통령도 대리되는 차바기 차바 디왕기 다 되니기 다 잘하라게 탑로도 꾸마자고 아도 되는 초오다 아도 다 말하지네 묘모바 네 되는 용거래서
So, for example, with our eye sense powers, if we see something beautiful and we get attracted to that, this is of course distracting to us in any environment. And likewise, if we have something of value or something that we value, then we may be worrying about, oh, I hope it doesn't get stolen. So these are the kinds of distractions referred to here. So in the same way that a moth is attracted to a flame, ourselves with our eyes, we can be so distracted and blindly attracted to beautiful objects. And in the same way that this harms, of course, harms or kills the moth, in the same way it harms us. And it's not that our sense powers are completely faulty and only harm us. Of course, a lot of benefits comes through the sense powers. Because it's through having our sight that we're able to meet teachers, we're able to see the Buddha images and the like. So, and likewise, if we are on a path and we see, okay, this is the correct path to go, that's the wrong path to go, etc. This is all these kinds of benefits come from our sense powers. So, but we need to be also aware that distractions and harm come through these same doors. So one needs to guard against that. Earlier we had the example about the deer being attracted to the sounds of a lute and in that way being caught by the hunter. So in the same way that we can be distracted by sound and that can harm us as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have the experience of hearing sounds that we consider pleasurable and those that we don't. For example, if we praise, we get kind of happy. If people criticize or scold us, we get kind of unhappy. So similarly, we need to similarly with the other sense powers, we need to be aware of the mental process here, so that we don't make errors. Because hearing teachings, getting advice, instructions on how to practice, this is of course good, and this is what we need to hear and engage with and follow. But likewise, there are many instances when we hear sounds or hear speech, and we respond with attachment, or we respond with dislike and with anger. So we need to guard our minds from this one side, and we need to engage in the other side.
And similarly,
disturbing emotions can arise in dependence on our smell and our nose sense power. And the illustration that's given in the text is about, I think they say a bee that's attracted to the smell of a carnivorous plant and is eaten. So in the same way, we need to guard our minds against attachments arising through smell. So
another example would be getting angry through smell. So if maybe you're next to someone who kind of smells. you can follow the rest.
So I think maybe Gendler's maybe thinking back to the monastery when the weather's cold and people aren't washing their clothes so much. Then he's referring to that. I think we don't do that so much here. And then we come to taste. So with taste, we have usually an immediate reaction, an reaction just one moment. So either of great like or great dislike can come really very quickly. So again, this is something that we need to guard our mind against and just be aware of the mental process. So for example, if we drink some alcohol and we just have a little bit because maybe there's some benefit for the body for having a little bit of alcohol, then that's one thing. But often maybe someone will drink it and this or it tastes kind of nice, and then they'll have a second, they'll have a third, and again it's a process people are familiar with. And then once one's had too much, then many problems can come with those that one's around, arguing, fighting, the like. And if one's in a work environment, then of course further problems can come.
Now 대수라티네 야비 레비 체제 영화여로 균 체제 용고레스 다 가지랑 아주 가르송 구조선 디기 나도 미기 통도 나 암조 고디 가르제베네 원부 고안이 지 통하고 용도 남사 남주로 배제 다지 어디제나 뉴스레스 디제나 뉴스 말스 디르 디제네 라레 뉴스레 샹다 뉴스레스 디제기 민도스 다데네 제나다 라레 핑기도 셴레 핑기도 디진의 약부도 세데 간제 데니기 미기 통와이나 다 암조 고와이나 디만 간제레 되샤 차당 요모 제마제 남제 비제 다제 팬베직 라셴니가 팬바디게 누고레스 니기 라나 니 셴나 니베리기네 마디소와 까고레스 월다나 딜레고레
So the meaning here is that we see how through our sense powers, our sense doors, that our mind engages with objects, and we need to be very aware of this. And it can engage with objects in two ways. It can either be in a way that's beneficial or a way that is harmful. So we've seen that through these illustrations now, we've seen this through all the illustrations. So what we really need to use here is our intelligence. When we encounter objects, which really is all the time, we need to be very aware of the mental process that's going on. And then we need to not just be aware, but we need to use our intelligence. So the first thing is this being aware. The second is using our intelligence. And with our intelligence, we need to make that that judgment. Is this a good mind to follow? Is this a harmful mind to follow? And if we see that if this is a good mind to follow, then we should engage. If we see that harm can come from this, we should immediately stop. We come now to a story in the middle of page 14. So this is to talk about the point of discursive thoughts. So discursive thoughts, it's not a great term, but it's really this kind of uncontrolled thinking that we engage in all the time. We see something, we think about it, and we go off on story in stories in our minds. So the illustration that's given here is again from Tibet. So someone, he was really very poor. He found a bag of barley, a huge bag of barley. Oh no, he found a huge pile of barley. He put it together in a huge sack, and he was now really happy. Now he is finally going to be wealthy. So he hoisted this heavy sack up on a ceiling rafter and tied it securely. And that was quite a bit of work, and he was really very pleased. So he lay down to rest underneath it, and he started daydreaming. Oh, now I'm going to be wealthy. I'll sell this, and I'll really make a good profit because it didn't cost me anything. And with this money, I'll be wealthy, and I'll be able to get a wife. If I have a wife, I'll be able to have a child, and for sure it will be a son. And what shall I name my son? And on he was going with all of this. And then at that moment, I guess he'd been going through the story for quite a while, the moon rose. And so he saw the moonlight shining in, and he thought, I'll call my son Famous Moon. And at that moment, a rat had been gnawing its way through the rope, and the big sack of barley broke or fell down from the ceiling, landed on him, and he died. So the moral of the story, of course, is beware of discursive thinking.
ဒီနေ့ဉာဏ်ကြီးတဲ့လောကကြီးကိုမြေကြီးကဆိုနမ္တော်ဓမ္မရာဆမ္မတော်ဓမ္မရာခေါ်နေကုန်ကြနေကိုရစီကိုရစီချစ်တာပေချစ်တာဒီကုန်ကြီးကဆိုဆမ္လို့ကြီးပဲနမ္တော်ဆမ္မတော်ဓမ္မရာဆမ္မတော်ကြီးချီလို့တွေ့ချေကုန်ကြတဲ့ဝင်နေဒီနေ့ကုန်ကုန်တာခလေးထူတော်မှာရစီချစ်တာနမ္တော်စင်ကိုချီလို့မှာတော့ကြည့်ဒီအမ်နမ္တော်ရှိရမယ်ပါ
So how this of course relates to our particular situation here is once one has come to teachings and studied well and we've thought a lot about the teachings and now we're meditating on the teachings, if we've been caught up in this kind of untamed mind and this all this discursive thinking, we'll be sitting on our cushion trying to cultivate a bodhicitta or love or compassion, and our mind will be going all over the show, and of course our meditation's not going to be very successful. Hence having a mind that is drawn outwards to these objects all the time, this is something that we need to abandon. So that was the fourth of the six stains, and now we come to the fifth. So we have the mind that's distracted outwards. Now we talk about the mind that is too much inwards. So the senses that are too strongly withdrawn. The senses that are too tense or uptight. So to illustrate this fourth of the fifth of the six stains, there's a story from the time of the Buddha. So someone was having a problem with their meditation. Someone called Kashrona, and was having problem getting the balance in the meditation right. Either their mind was just too relaxed, or their mind was far too uptight and tense. So Shrona came to see the Buddha, and the Buddha said, "Didn't you used to be quite a renowned lute player?" So, and Shrona acknowledged that he was. And the Buddha said, "So when did your lute sound best? When the strings were a little bit loose, or they were a little bit tight?" And Shrona replied, "No, neither. It was really when they were just right that the sound was most beautiful." And so the Buddha then went on to say, that's exactly how your meditation should be. Your mind shouldn't be too relaxed, it shouldn't be too tense and too uptight, but rather it should be in harmony or in balance between the two.
Lamje to lead the decor, the majestial dish, Shushurua, Sidadan Dugida, the ring that Ju Telan Dugida, Chi Nichine, Kawa Mawasa, your deed at the same gen, Tamjil Pembo shows and some of the Dango.
The Jima
Tuba Jail, Jima, 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 Mizimba Masiad, Mizimba Masiad, and Lamje Kuno Sajo, and Sina Jema de Shishurua.
Okay, so now the time is pretty much up, so we're going to stop here. Next week we'll continue from here, so we have one more stain, discouragement or dispiritedness, maybe discouragement is easier to say. So we'll look at that next week and we'll continue with the third of the three kinds of conduct to abandon. So today we first looked at the three faults of a vessel, then we looked at five of the six stains, and then next week we'll start with the five wrong ways of remembering. So we've accumulated a lot of virtue tonight, and again, I say thank you for that. If anyone has questions. Not tonight.
Oh.